Is help on the way for those who lost everything in Superstorm Sandy? Under intense pressure from angry Republicans, House Speaker John Boehner agrees tonight to a vote this week on recovery aid. The package had been put off. The speaker is expected to schedule a vote Friday on $9 billion for the National Flood Insurance Program and another vote on January 15th for remaining $51 billion in the package. Earlier today, before this announcement, a livid New Jersey Governor Chris Christie pointed his finger at Congress here in D.C.
We've got people down there who use the citizens of this country like pawns on a chessboard. That's the way the citizens of New York and New Jersey were treated last night. On a political chessboard of internal palace intrigue politics, our people were played last night as a pawn.
Let's go in depth tonight with Chris Freites. He's lobbying correspondent at National Journal, and it's great of you to take a few minutes to be with us, Chris. Welcome back.
It's great to be back with you. Thanks, guys.
Angry Republicans from the Northeast, Chris Christie being one of them, have called a ceasefire for now on their attacks on Boehner. We heard the anger there. They were livid that he refused to allow a vote on Sandy recovery. Now we have votes scheduled. What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, you know, I make that if you make enough noise, your leaders will hear you. And, you know, certainly in addition to Chris Christie, who called out House Speaker John Boehner by name in his press conference today, you had Representative Pete King from Staten Island on almost every cable channel today. He told Fox News that while Republicans are happy to come up to New York to take campaign contributions from his constituents and people devastated by Sandy, they weren't so happy to help them in their time of need, and perhaps nobody from New York should give to congressional Republicans. So real strong statements coming out of Boehner's caucus, which culminated with him sitting down with those members earlier this afternoon and banging out this agreement that I'll give you a vote on Friday for part of it, and we'll finish things up later this month.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned Peter King and his comments. When these things happen and when we get this intense, does that demonstrate that when it's in your backyard, when it's you know, your slice of the world, that's when you can kind of throw party loyalty out and go after each other? Is that what we're seeing here?
Absolutely. There is always a maxim in politics that if you want to know why a politician does what he does, there's a lot of motivation, but the constituents are often at the heart of it. And if your constituents are hurting, they're calling your office, they're saying, when do we get help? When do we get aid? We need checks. We need assistance. You can't be seen as somebody who's taking the side of your leadership and saying, oh, well, they tell me they're getting around to it. And I think the idea that they were almost promised a vote by their leadership, it was supposed to come after the fiscal cliff vote last night. The speaker pulled it and unexpectedly set off a firestorm.
You know, to your point, we've seen fundamental shifts in Congress in recent years. Of course, the hyper-partisanship. But are we now looking at a group of lawmakers that cannot come through when there's a major disaster? You always could rely on that. You know, they might talk badly about each other most days out of the year. But you have something like Sandy come through, you could guarantee that money would be there for people.
And I think that's what the speaker realized. Pete King came out of that meeting and said that everything was okay, that he was satisfied with the outcome, and that his understanding of Speaker Boehner's motivations were that he didn't want to bring a bill like disaster relief on the heels of something that had been as partisan as the fiscal cliff negotiations, that he was trying to keep those things separate. But in doing so, and perhaps not explaining it as well as he could have, set off this firestorm, making it look like politics was the cause of keeping this vote canceling it.
Well, Chris, things got a little ugly down there on Capitol Hill with the fiscal cliff thing the last couple of weeks. Well, not, you know, and beyond that. And of course, now we've got this Sandy thing. What does this say about what's going to go down between the president and Congress as we face even more critical money issues over the next months? What's going to go on?
I think it's going to be really tough. My colleagues and I did an exhaustive TikTok at nationaljournal.com of what happened in these last few months during the fiscal cliff negotiations inside the room with the speaker and the president, with the Senate Republican leader and the vice president. And you know, the sense that you get is a very, very wary relationship between the White House and the speaker. I had some aides tell me that when the speaker's plan B went forward, and he told the president he was going to kind of go his own way as he continued to negotiate. One of the White House aides called the speaker's aides and said, "You know, I'm calling today because our press staff said that I should give you a call so that we can say that we talked." And you know, that kind of says it all right there. But by the end of that conversation, both aides agreed, there's probably not a lot that we can do on the policy here. And I think going forward, we're looking at a triple threat come March. We have a debt ceiling that is up, and we won't be able to pay our bills because we've maxed out our credit card if we don't up it. We have a continuing resolution that's funding the government that expires, so there could be a government shutdown. And you also have, in this fiscal cliff deal, the across-the-board spending cuts that were delayed by 2 months by this deal. That delay ends in March. So you have this perfect cocktail, once again, yet another cliff, another showdown type of event that is driving our spending decisions in this country, and it's going to be another wild ride this first quarter.
So in summary, Happy New Year.
Exactly. You know, we averted the cliff, and now we're looking at another one.
Chris, thanks for the update. We really appreciate it, and hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Chris Freitz of National Journal, the lobbying correspondent.